Welcome to an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma give their opinions on the latest happenings surrounding Yankees baseball, as well as dive into the hottest topics in the sports world. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am Chris Sheeran, as he is always, Joe Auriemma is with me, and that's not really English, but I'm working on 2 hours of sleep, and I'm on impulse power. The dilithium crystals have been cracked. I have Scotty working on it. We will see if we'll get it all straightened out by
wow,
the end of the podcast.
Wow, a Star Trek reference. Nice.
But, you know, Joe, this is a huge, huge sports week.
Huge.
It doesn't get
much bigger than this.
We have an anniversary unlike any other in the world of sports. You know, people should genuflect. They should bow down. It is the 125th Off the Wall podcast. I joke. I kid. Don't forget, if you like what you hear here, including the corny jokes, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to the Off the Wall podcast, and it's for free. So why don't you go ahead and go over to iTunes and do that right now. But in all seriousness, it is the 100th anniversary of Fenway Park, as the Yankees are up there for a weekend series with the Red Sox. Really cool. They're wearing some throwbacks. The Yankees are wearing their Highlanders uniforms, which is what they were at the outset of the franchise. They were the New York Highlanders against the Boston Red Sox. They'll be wearing some throwbacks today. First time, I think, ever that the Yankees are wearing something other than New York across their
chest. Their grays, yeah.
Yeah, across their chest. But, you know, it's cool for the fans, a little throwback feel. And Fenway is basically, like Wrigley, one of the few throwback parks still out there in existence.
It's the oldest ballpark
in
America.
And it doesn't, to me, like, if you love the game of baseball, and this is not a shot at any new stadium. I mean, you know, improvements have to be made. You have to move forward. But in this time of moving forward and making all these improvements to these ballparks and knocking down the old ones and building up the new ones, when you see a park like Fenway, and I've never been there, okay? I've been on the outside. I've never been inside for a game. But, I mean, just walking by this place in the outside, it was kind of, it's got that old Yankee Stadium feel. Like, you could actually feel, like, the ghosts in that place. Like, at night when you're walking down the streets of Boston there, Joe, next to the park, you're just like, wow. You could feel the history emanating from that stadium.
I've been to Fenway several times. I covered a series last year up in Fenway. I got a personal tour. I was doing a feature out in out by the Green Monster out in left field, and the guy who runs the scoreboard said, "Would you like to come in and shoot the monster inside the monster?" And I went in, and I was inside the Green Monster. It was really... That's what that ballpark's all about. You see all the names and all the ballplayer signatures and the history that really is Fenway Park. I will say this. 10 years ago, that place was a complete dump. And this new ownership has made a lot of improvements to make the viewing experience and the baseball experience a little bit more modernized, you know, now than it was just 10 years ago. So Fenway Park has truly improved, and it's become, even though it's modernized, it's still got that old school, feel. So you get the best of both worlds now, except small clubhouses.
And I'm pretty sure that I heard that if anyone was alive in 1912, they get free admission to
Harry Doyle.
good old Bob Uecker. Anyway, let's talk a little Yankees, Joe. And I know you're at the stadium. You cover this team as the beat reporter for YesNetwork.com. So as I do always, I'm going to lean on you for the pulse of the clubhouse. All I can do is really, you know, I watch the games. I crunch the numbers. And right now, Joe, the starting pitching is not good. It's just not good. They going into Phil Hughes' start against the Twins, as we tape this on Friday, so last night, Thursday, the starter's ERA was 9.75. I mean, 9.75 in the first inning.
Very concerning.
First inning ERA, that puts you in an immediate
Absolutely.
Hole.
They've only had 3 quality starts in 13 games. That's they're really being held up right now by the fact that the bullpen has just been that good. They've been the best bullpen in baseball up until this point, and that's including Mariano Rivera's first weekend.
Boone Logan's been great.
Awesome.
Phelps has been phenomenal.
Lights out. Robertson's
Robertson. Amazing. And Soriano as well. They've got to drop down to their knees and thank God that they have those guys out in that pen, because if they didn't have the pen that they have, they wouldn't have their 7 wins this season.
So far. And Thursday night is a perfect example of why the bullpen is so necessary and why they need to be good. It's because Phil Hughes gives up the 4 runs. Eduardo Nunez has the bad throw over to first. So he did extend the inning, and he did extend Phil Hughes' pitch count. However, can Phil Hughes get Ryan Domet out? That's my point.
Phil
Hughes get these guys? We're not talking about.
You could sit there.
We're not talking about
you're
the.
Right.
You know.
You could sit there and you could point the finger at Nunez for making the error, and he's got to stop. I mean, Joe, it wasn't a routine play, but at the same time, you see Robinson Cano make that play night in.
Why is Eduardo Nunez out there? Robinson Cano is 28 years old. He's a second baseman. Why is he not playing 155 games at second base?
He told our Meredith Marakovitz in the interview Thursday night before that Twins game, he said, I want to be in the lineup, because if I'm not in the lineup, and he knew he was just DHing, he's still technically in the lineup, but he said, I want to be out there because I could help the team win.
He like Derek Jeter, 5-10 years ago, needs to be playing his position every game. The DH is now for the Ibanezes of the world, Andrew Jones, Alex Rodriguez, Derek Jeter, the aging players that need that half
day. Yeah, they need the day.
Robinson Cano did not. Even with that being said, Phil Hughes needs to make his pitches. And the bullpen, again, keeps them in, Q settled down, kept him in the game long enough. He had 5 1/3 innings pitched last night.
So they pitched, the bullpen pitched 3 2.
3 2/3, scoreless. And the Yankees win the game 7-6. The bullpen kept the game at 7-6. But there's been times throughout this season to this point that the bullpen has kept the Yankees in long enough that they can come back and score and win in a game.
And Curtis Granderson goes 5 for 5 with 3 home runs. And, that kind of night couldn't happen to a more special person and a special player. Just a guy who loves the game, and you could tell it. He bounces around that clubhouse. He just loves playing the game of baseball. So it was nice to see Curtis have that kind of night.
And, some unbelievable facts coming out of that game. Curtis Granderson is the first Yankee to have a 3 home run game in a 5 hit game. In the history of the Yankees franchise, no other player in a 5 hit game has had 3 home runs in that same game. He's also the first number 2 hitter since Bobby Mercer did it on June 24th, 1970, to have 3 home runs in a game. So that tells you what kind of special player he is.
Let me throw this at you too. My producer, Steve Goldberg, I got to give him credit. He told me in my ear while we were doing batting practice yesterday, he said, CeCe, Carota, Hughes, Nova, Garcia, before Hughes got the win, had 4 wins between them up until Hughes got that win last night.
Mercifully got the
Bartolo
win.
Bartolo Colon has 3.
I know.
All by himself.
I know. He's been amazing.
And he shut out the Angels over 8 innings in his last start.
He's been absolutely amazing.
But I agree with the Yankees in not taking another flyer on him, because you don't know. Look,
he struggled down the stretch last year.
His arm might be great, but he had the calf last year.
Right.
You don't know what's going to go on him this year. And he could light it up in the first half again. But as Joe just said, second half, he started to break down and he was not good.
With the Yankees, before the game yesterday, I spoke with Kevin Long, and he told me that he really likes where his hitters are right now, and that includes Alex Rodriguez, who's struggling. He said that a couple things really struck me about my conversation with Kevin Long, Chris. One, he said he feels great where Curtis Granderson is right now, that at the beginning of the season, and Curtis echoed this last night in the postgame, it was a timing issue. Curtis, even though he had the three home runs, it was a timing issue, and they worked before the game yesterday to improve that timing issue. It worked. Mm-hmm. Robinson Cano, he feels like he's coming around, and he will be the Robinson Cano that we've seen over the last couple years. He felt really good about Mark Teixeira's game on Wednesday night. Even though he only got two hits, he hit the ball hard five times. And he feels that Mark Teixeira is about to hit a hot streak. And he also said about Derek Jeter, which is something that I haven't heard Kevin Long say to this point. He said last year, Derek Jeter, when he went through his struggles, lost his swing. I had never heard Kevin Long say that about Derek Jeter. He said at some point in a Hall of Famer's career, when you play that long, when you play 18 seasons, 19 seasons, 20, a Hall of Famer does lose their swing at some point. He says Derek Jeter lost his swing. And now he says he's out of confidence and his swing is so quick now and he's such in good shape and he's so energetic and his bat speed is so good that we're looking at a Derek Jeter a la 1999.
Well, it's the best start of his career.
Yeah.
And he's 37.
So that was what Kevin Long said about...
So everybody on Twitter that was calling him Captain Double Play and Captain Ground Out, put that in your pipe and smoke it. You know who you are. I'm not going to call you out. But you are out there. You are. Because I saw you. I saw you last year.
Everybody that wanted Jeter on the bench and batting ninth last year, this is...
Yeah.
You know, this is Derek Jeter, you know, 2.0 now. I mean... And Kevin Long brought up some really good points.
Lou Brown once said, let's go out there and give everybody a nice big you-know-what burger to eat. And
blank burger?
Yes. I cannot be happier that Derek Jeter continues to prove all the naysayers wrong. Good for the captain. I'm glad he's out to the best start of his career. And, Joe, he looks absolutely phenomenal. A guy who doesn't look phenomenal, though, you know, I think Chris Stewart has more hits than Russell Martin.
Yeah, and they, you know, the one thing that I spoke with Russell about yesterday before the game, I talked to him and he's, you know, he was flat out honest and he talked about his offensive struggles and we're going to lead to it right here. This is Russell Martin with me on the field before the game yesterday. Russell, so far, how's the season been for you?
It's been up and down, you know. For me personally, it's just, it's been a battle at the plate so far. You know, haven't really gotten going yet. Still getting on base, you know, plenty, but still, you know, looking for some multi-hit games and stuff like that just to contribute, you know, to the offense a little bit.
When you have a little bit of a slow start, you know, what are some of the things that you work on to kind of just get going and get jump started?
Well, I mean, you don't want to overthink anything.
Right.
So the key for me is just to get my work in before the game, you know, get my preparation the way it's supposed to be. And just get a good pitch to hit and not really, you know, not try too hard. Sometimes, you know, you go up there and you go up there every at bat trying to get hits and, you know, you get out of your zone or, you know, out of your plan type
right.
thing. And for me right now, I just got to stay with my plan and hopefully contact will come.
You know, it's so early in the season right now, and, you know, Yankee fans are in on every pitch. But really, you know, you look at the back of the baseball card on a lot of you guys, and you're going to put up your numbers. So, you know, you see even the pitchers, you know, some of the starters right now haven't had, you know, that great of a start. But what are you seeing from the starters from behind the plate?
I mean, guys are battling. They're competing out there. You know, it's the beginning of the season, so... you know, numbers can be skewed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a bad game here and there, and it just it makes your stats look horrible. But, you know, from our starters, we just got to keep our offense in the game. And we have a great starting five right now. So, you know, I'm not getting too paranoid with it. You know, we just got to go out there, keep battling, keep going with our plan, and keep having fun.
What have you seen from the bullpen? They've been unbelievable up to this point. I mean, really keeping you guys in a lot of games, allowing you to come back here. The arms have been unbelievable out there.
Yeah, and it's really been you know, a group effort. Everybody's participated. Everybody's doing their job out of the bullpen. And, you know, there are times in the season where the offense is going to kind of help the team, and there are times where the bullpen's going to come through. And there will be times where the starters are just, you know, A1. So it's a long season, and hopefully, you know, our bullpen can just, you know, keep the pace they got going on right now. It's a long season, but, you know, we definitely have a great team.
Are you looking forward to going to Boston tomorrow and celebrating the 100 years of Fenway? I mean, that's got to be so cool. You guys are going to be wearing throwback jerseys, everything.
I love the environment, you know, when we play Boston. The fans get into it, kind of trickles down to the players, you know, get the energy going a little bit. So it's going to be fun.
You know, Chris, you know, he mentions not only his early struggles, but the starters' struggles. He does feel that the starters are throwing well to him. He feels like they've got, you know, even though, like we said, only the three quality starts in 13 games. This is what I basically said afterward. Phil Hughes is throwing, yes, his velocity's up to 94 miles an hour, but it's also a flat fastball. There's no movement on it whatsoever. With that being said, I still think the Yankees are invested in Phil Hughes. I do think, you know, very soon, sooner rather than later, we will see Phil Hughes in the bullpen. And I do think that Freddy Garcia, if he continues to pitch the way he's pitching, will be the first one out of the rotation when Andy Pettitte returns. And when Michael Pineda returns, I think that's when Phil Hughes is out of the rotation.
Does he go to the bullpen, though?
I think Hughes is going
to... Because it's either bullpen or they're going to send him down. So which one is it?
I think Hughes goes to the bullpen in a to try to rekindle a spark that he had in 2009 to see if they can get something out of Phil Hughes. And I think Freddy Garcia is the odd man out.
Because, listen, I thought about this too. I mean, this is what I do because, you know, you got Pineda and Pettitte. You got the killer peas getting well down there in the minors right now. But you have a guy like Hughes who did have that magical run in 2009 in the bullpen. You have Jabba Chamberlain who is not coming back this year.
Right.
For the multiple reasons, the trampoline we know, and you know his rehab for Tommy John was going along well, but now that's on the back burner while he has to rehab his ankle. So who knows what we're going to get out of Jabba, if anything, ever again. He believes he's coming back, but if Hughes, I would rather see Hughes not as the long man, but make him, you know, shorten the game like they did last year. Make him the sixth inning guy.
Yeah.
Dial it up the way he used to dial it up. And you got Hughes. You got Soriano.
Robertson.
You got Robertson. You got Rivera. I really think Hughes would be so much more to the Yankees. And then I say keep him out there. Hughes is your new Jabba.
In
the bullpen.
Chris, you know, when I talk to fans on Twitter and I talk to fans just in general, I tell them that this Phil Hughes thing as a starter, this isn't just three starts now. And this is what the Yankees are trying to, and Joe Girardi are trying to tell us, that it's just three starts. But this sample size goes back a lot further than that. He has not been the same pitcher since June 2010. And I wrote an article about this, stating that when he was 10-1, he got shelled the next game. He did have another win before the All-Star break. He goes to the All-Star game. He had an unbelievable first half. He had a 3.17 ERA. That is a phenomenal first half as a starter. He has not been the same pitcher since.
I think winning...
That's the biggest sample
size. I think
size.
Winning those 18 games is the worst thing that ever happened to Phil Hughes. It was the worst and best to ever happen to Phil Hughes. It was a blessing and a curse for him because when you win 18 in New York, people expect that every single solitary year. And like you said, he just hasn't been able to do it.
This is his sixth year. This isn't a situation, Chris, where we're saying, oh, this guy, you know, he was magical in 2009. He had the first half of 2010. He was, you know, battling the whatever phantom injury he had last year. And I hate to say it, but,
being out of shape.
It was, he had dead arm, whatever he had. But he goes back to 2007 with this team. This is 6 years. 6 years. And I know he's only 25, but Well, it's almost time.
Listen, it might be a disappointment that he hasn't panned out into the starter that he's supposed to be, but if he can get back into the bullpen and bring back some of that stuff that he did in 2009, then it's not such a bad thing.
Right.
He found his calling. You know, they didn't want to give up on him as a starter. He had the great year in 2010. Let's see if he can work some magic in the bullpen if he doesn't turn it around on the mound as a starter.
Right.
That's still yet to be seen. Again, it's only been three starts, but as Joe said, it's been quite some time. It's not just those three starts, but I'm a big proponent of giving a guy a little bit more of a sample size than three starts. But if, like we said, if Hughes doesn't have it going in the rotation, he can help this team out in the back end of the bullpen. All right, when we come back, Joe and I bounce around the NBA, the NHL. Got to talk about it.
Yep.
The New Jersey Nets, they're not going to the playoffs, but there's something important coming up in their history. And we'll talk about that next right here on the Off the Wall podcast on YesNetwork.com.
Want to see what everyone is talking about? Check out the two-time Emmy Award-winning original video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features only at YesNetwork.com. Welcome back to Off the Wall. Once again, here are Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma. Don't forget, if you like what you hear, go over to iTunes. You could download the Off the Wall podcast right to your iPad. iPhone. Put it on in the car, and there you go.
Yeah, that's it.
Cook some dinner, listen to me and Joe.
Oh, yeah. Dun 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 dun. That's a spicy meatball.
Talked about the Nets before we went to break, and Joe, on Tuesday, it all comes to an end for the New Jersey Nets. Their last home game ever in the great Garden State, the state of our births. The Nets will wrap it up. 35 years in New Jersey, and it all comes to an end on Tuesday. Now look, we know since Jason Kidd left and that team broke up, the Nets have been absolutely awful. They have. Mikhail Prokhorov, I can't really read this guy. I don't know if he just likes to come in and boast certain things, but according to his five-year plan, the Nets have 3 years left. And, you know, they are losing Darren Williams away from being an expansion team next year when they move into Brooklyn. And my gut tells me Darren Williams is not coming back. My gut tells me Darren Williams
will be a Maverick.
Or maybe in the Garden. Don't rule out the Knicks. I'm telling you right now. Don't rule out the New York Knicks. You know, you read body language, and I might be overreading this a little bit, but after that game, which Darren didn't play, he was awfully chummy with Carmelo. Awfully chummy. Now, they're probably friends. Look, I get it. And I'm probably looking into this way more than I should be looking into it. But it would not shock me. Nothing would shock me. But I know Darren Williams is not coming back to the Nets. And if he does, I will buy a cake. And I will eat my words. I will have them write on it. Chris Sheeran said Darren Williams is not coming back to the Nets, and I will eat my words. I've done it before. Said the Giants were going to be 5-11. They won the Super Bowl. I bought a little chocolate cake at ShopRite. Put 5-11 on it. Ate my words. In front of God and everybody. So it won't be the first time. Won't be the last. But my gut tells me, you know, I covered the locker room for the Nets. And that guy, you know, you ask him a question, all I'm thinking about is 9 days left. when your star point guard is saying he just can't wait to get the hell out of here, it doesn't really bode well for your franchise. And think about it. If they don't get a lottery pick, Joe, if they don't get a 1, a 2, or a 3, if they get the 4, it's not their pick.
I know.
It goes bye-bye.
I know.
So you're looking at no first-round pick. Marshawn Brooks and Brooke Lopez. Welcome to Brooklyn. Oh, baby.
I will say this.
And that I got a that Nets-Knicks game. How disheartening is it? And it's going to be the same in Brooklyn. It's going to be a Knick home game.
I know.
It's awful.
I know.
And what do you expect from a franchise who did everything in their power when the Orlando Magic came in, handing out Dwight Howard cutout heads? And I know I went off. I'm not going to go off again. And thank God that guy didn't come here.
Well, as, now he's out for the season.
As our buddy Eric Roldan told me, LeBron is probably sending him thank you cards for dropping his Q rating. I thought that was a great line. But it's the truth.
Yeah.
Would you want to touch Dwight Howard right now?
And let me tell you.
The guy's a pariah.
And let me tell you something about Dwight
and
Howard.
Good for Stan Van Gundy, too, by the way. This guy wants me fired. I love Stan Van Gundy. He cracks a Diet Pepsi. Yeah, he went to management. He wants me fired. It was great.
I will say this. He also should not boast that he's the best center in the league anymore. Because that title soon will be on Andrew Bynum.
Oh, wow,
who is
yeah.
the best center in the league.
And we go back to New Jersey
right now.
Because he is from New Jersey.
Yes. Going back to the Nets and their history, there have been some good times. There have been some bad times. Playing in the Meadowlands, Brendan Byrne Arena, Continental Arena.
Mm-hmm.
But the team, when they moved here, it was a breath of fresh air when they moved to Jersey. And now that they're leaving, it's a little bittersweet. It is a little bittersweet because they did develop a fan base. I mean, I know that, you know, everybody talks about how it's, you know, when the Knicks come in, it's a Knicks home game. Even with that being said, they did develop a strong fan base.
Hey, that place rocked in the playoffs.
Yeah, they did.
When Kidd and Martin and Jefferson
and they're hoping
flying
to build,
up and down the court.
They're hoping to build a fan base in Brooklyn. But, you know, again,
it's gonna
are
be
Jersey fans going to go to Brooklyn? I don't know.
I don't think that's going to happen, A and B. It's going to be tough.
Are Brooklyn fans that
gonna,
were Knick fans
are
going
to... just
going to
be a Net fan
yeah,
all of
I mean,
a sudden?
It's,
or whatever
I'm
they're
sure
going
to
be called?
I'm sure the building, the Barclays Center, is going to be...
Oh, the Barclays Center.
Top
yeah,
notch.
Absolutely.
Absolutely gorgeous. But, again, like you said, what team is going to be playing at the Barclays Center next year? I don't know.
That's
could
the thing.
Be,
it's the product that you put on the floor. People will go to see the arena once. You know, they'll want to see a brand new arena in Brooklyn because, let's face it, a professional sports team hasn't been in that borough since the Dodgers left.
Yeah.
Okay, so people, it's going to be sexy. People are going to want to go in. They're going to want to see the arena. But if the product on the court isn't good, you're going to see a lot of empty seats. It's not going to be packed.
And, again, to all you Nets fans out there, you can thank Dwight Howard for that.
Yeah.
Really, you can thank him. And he owes the Nets organization as a whole.
An apology.
And Billy King, an apology.
Yeah. That guy has
an
a future.
An apology.
That guy has a future in politics, if he wants, the way he was flip-flopping for everybody.
Yeah.
And, the more it sticks in my head when he said, oh, they brought my favorite candy. How old are you? Favorite candy? Yeah. And shame on the Magic ownership. If that was me, hey, you want to go to New Jersey? Where do I sign? Go ahead. See you later. We'll start over. No big deal. We got Mickey Mouse right down the street.
It's true.
This is Orlando, baby. We'll be fine.
It's true. It's true.
This guy is a crybaby. Asked for his coach to be... Think of the bitched, moaned, and complained. I want to go, I want to go, I want to go. As soon as the lockout ended, where does he want to go? New Jersey. Well, they were going to trade him to the Lakers because they didn't want to give him what he wanted. Well, he didn't want to go to the Lakers because he didn't want to follow in Shaq's footsteps. God forbid you go win a ring, you're going to be compared to Shaq. Who cares? Just go. It's going to be for a year. And if you win a ring with Kobe, how cool is that?
Yeah.
You were on a team that won Kobe's sixth ring. He just tied Michael Jordan with his sixth ring if he wins.
I know.
And you helped.
I know.
So you don't want a Laker ring on your finger?
the one of the greatest franchises.
And then you could go wherever you want after that.
Yeah.
The guy is a crybaby. And you know what? Stay in Orlando.
And with that being said, the New York Knicks are in the playoffs.
Welcome to the playoffs. Where's Isaiah?
And the
do we have that soundbite?
And the Dwight Howard-less Orlando Magic are probably going to be eliminated in the first round. The Knicks still have a shot here
at the six seed. Yeah.
At the six.
Yeah, they do. If the Magic goes 1-3 over the last four, and the Knicks win their last four, the Knicks are the six. They play the Pacers, and they have a good a chance as any. Listen, the Pacers are a good basketball team.
Oh yeah,
great basketball team. But as a Knicks fan, would you rather play the Pacers, the Heat, or the Bulls?
Oh, let me think about that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the playoffs are really shaping up to be something interesting. The one thing that has bothered me about the NBA, Chris, is that going into these playoffs, the league is very top heavy. And superstar driven.
Mm-hmm.
There are no surprises that you're going to get out of the NBA playoffs, if you think about it. I mean, would you be shocked if it's the Heat and Bulls in the Eastern Conference Finals?
No.
No, because that's what everybody thinks is going to happen. If the Celtics make it there, everybody's going to go, oh, you know, the Celts, they still have one more year left in them. But is there really any other shot for any other team to make it? And if they do, then it becomes a great story and a great playoffs. That's the difference between the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs.
I was talking to cameraman extraordinaire Paul Ferrigno, and super, super Bowl fan, by the way. Super, super, number one Super Bowls fan, Paul Ferrigno. And I told him my gut feeling about the NBA playoffs because of this condensed season, because of the 66 games, because of all these teams expending all of this energy. And you see it sometimes in the Thunder and in the Heat. The Heat had a 3-4 game losing streak during the season.
Right.
I'm telling you, I'm not saying the Knicks are going to beat the Heat in the first round, but I'm telling you.
But it would bring cachet.
Right now, the top teams are not a shoo-in. They're not. There's too much going on. Derrick Rose, who knows if he's going to be 100% with the Bulls.
And you know what, Chris? If that is the case, then I will eat my words. Because truly, I want to see something happen in the NBA playoffs. I want to see an upset. I want to see something where you go, wow, I mean, that was... The NBA's back in a big way.
They were last year.
In a big, and they
you
were.
You remember watching that game at Bar A? Shameless plug.
Yeah, I mean,
for Johnny B.
Exactly. It was nice to see the Dallas Mavericks.
And they came back and won that game, and that pretty much won the series. Was that game two or game three?
Game three.
Game three.
And you know, you want to see, and like I said, hockey's been doing it year in and year out. I want to see the NBA have a couple years where you go, wow, I mean, LeBron cannot buy a title at this point.
Yeah. And speaking of hockey, Joe, your Devils tied things up at two.
Absolutely. Awful game three.
With a pasting.
Awful game three. Martin Brodeur looked awful. He came back and had a shutout.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Brodeur does. The one thing that's very concerning for all Devils fans out there is... Their 89.6% penalty kill in the regular season is an all-time record. An all-time record in the entire history of the NHL. And they can't kill a penalty in the playoffs! Last night was the first game where the penalty kill was the penalty kill from the regular season. But the first three games, the story has been... The greatest penalty kill team ever cannot kill a penalty.
And my Rangers are tied up with the Senators. And, you know, I got to say something about these nitwits on Twitter. Because I
just want to let you know,
yeah.
The Rangers, the Senators, have not led 1 minute
in regulation.
It's unbelievable.
And they're tied at two. Which leads me to my point, and thank you for hammering that home. Nitwits on Twitter, as soon as that goal, and look, was it a weak goal? Yeah. If Henrik Lundqvist isn't between the pipes,
you're not even here.
That game is 8-2. Not alone yet. Not in the playoffs. Not the number one seed. Okay. You're not tied at 2. Ottawa is up 3-1 right now. Without Henrik Lundqvist. Maybe even a sweep.
Without Henrik Lundqvist, a possible MVP candidate.
Joe.
They're nowhere.
Game 3. Nothing makes your heart pound like, listen. I know the Giants. The Giants, you know, football makes your heart pound. Yankee baseball. Yankee postseason baseball makes your heart pound. You live on every pitch. But playoff hockey, that game 3 that the Rangers won 1-0 and time ticking down in that third period.
39 saves for Big Henrik.
39 saves.
Unbelievable in the last minute
Joe,
of the game.
Joe, he made 2 saves at the with under a minute to play that were unbelievable saves. He doesn't stop those pucks. They go to overtime. Who knows what happens? The Senators might have a 3-1 lead right now.
Henrik Lundqvist has the track record. This guy consistently wins 30 games every year.
I can't believe he's 30 already. That's the scary thing.
6 years of 30-plus wins.
And no cups.
No cups. But
no cups.
But he's got the track record. Listen. And just like my guy Martin Brodeur in Game 1, this series could have easily been 3-0 before they finally...
Oh, yeah.
Because... they were up 3-0. They let in the 2 goals, and Brodeur, the Panthers kept coming. And Brodeur, with pad saves, with, you know leaping out of nowhere,
Joey,
Brodeur saved that game for the Devils.
That's the great thing about playoff hockey, and I know we're just centralizing here on the Devils and Rangers because there are teams, and let's face it, it's a local podcast, but, I mean...
And the Islanders with that... No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Sorry, Glenn.
Take a look at what's going on in the Western Conference. Take a look at the Kings, who are the 8th seed. It doesn't matter what number is in front of your team name. All that matters is that you get into the playoffs. The
That's
Predators
it.
Are about to beat the Red Wings, for crying out loud.
That's it.
It doesn't matter that the Rangers won the Eastern Conference. Doesn't matter.
And I had an argument.
2 games, they can be done.
I had an argument with a Ranger fan one night, Chris, because I mentioned that, you know, the Senators were not a team, you know, they might have struggled down the stretch, but for a big period of time, they were clinched into that 7th seed.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, beware of the Ottawa Senators if you're a Ranger fan.
Joe, they're a great hockey
and
team.
I got somebody to say, oh, that's a real dumb statement. Somebody came back and said, you know, the Rangers have consistently been the best hockey team in the Eastern Conference. They have 109 points, went through all these things. And you know what I said to him? I go, how about the Washington Capitals from a couple years ago that had 122
points?
They're
tied with the Bruins right now.
The Washington Capitals had 122 points.
Yeah, and they're tied.
And they lost.
And they lost.
In the first round.
To an 8
They were the number one seed. Mm-hmm. They dominated the league. Dominated.
And, is Vancouver going to be okay this year if the Kings win?
Wow.
The riots up there?
Wow. I mean, it's unbelievable. And that's what's the beauty of playoff hockey, Chris. It really is. It's
Joe,
a beautiful thing.
It's one of the most exciting things to watch. It doesn't matter if your team's in it or not. If you happen to catch a game, look at the Flyers and Penguins. Who would have guessed that the Flyers would be doing what they're doing to Pittsburgh right now? And then Pittsburgh, you know, give Sidney Crosby credit. He whines and moans and complains about everything, but his team went out there and they scored 10 goals.
How about
they're back in it?
I'm gonna send a a proposal.
They might not be back in it when you're listening to this, but
first of all,
they gotta win.
Combined 45 goals in 4 games. I'm going to send a proposal to both the Flyers and Penguins. Pull the goalies. Play 6-on-6 hockey. Because you know what? At this point, Fleury is not the same goalie he was. Some people think that he had a concussion late in the season. He's not the same goalie. And the Flyers, you know, you don't even need a goalie at this point because you're just letting everybody go through.
Joe.
This is the worst defensive series I've ever seen.
I got to tell you, I tuned into game 1 of that series. It was 3-0 Pittsburgh in the second period. Right before the second period ended, the Flyers got on the board. It was Briere on a somewhat of a mini breakaway. He beats Fleury to make it 3-1. I said, okay, the third period should be interesting. The Flyers have dominated that series up until the 10-goal game from the Penguins. But those first three games from that third period on in game one, it was just utter annihilation. I know there's people out there who don't like hockey. They don't get it. I've been watching it since I'm 9. You know, I didn't get things. I asked questions. And it's definitely, you know, it's everybody always says it. You know, you got to see hockey in person. It's better in person. It is. But playoff hockey, watching it on TV, especially on the HD, oof, it is a thing to see.
I've been going to hockey games since I'm 5 years old, Chris. You know, we had season tickets to the Devils, my guy Dougie Brown, and I was in love with the John McLean, Dougie Brown, and the Devils from the time I was 5, 6
Team
years
Pizza
old.
Hut. Red and green jerseys.
That's right.
And that's going to do it for the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. For Joe Oriema, I'm Chris Sheeran, and we'll see you next time.
The Off the Wall podcast comes to you each week on iTunes and YesNetwork.com. If you like what you're listening to, simply subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you have an extra minute, leave a comment and rating.